The title that was suggested to me by the organizers was Precision Observables in the MSM Status and Perspectives. And so, after introduction, I will first talk about precision observables in the MSM and then about status and perspectives and conclude, of course. The question that probably all of us want to answer is the following: which Lagrangian describes the world? However, this is a bit complicated question, at least for me. And so I try to answer a simpler one, Q prime here. How can one distinguish the standard model and the MSSM? Because if you would have shown that one of them is correct and the other is incorrect, for example, then you would be already one step closer to the true Lagrangian. And the answer to this question is that there are two possible ways. Let me get this out here. You can search for the new SUSY particles, because if you find them, the standard model is ruled out, that's clear, but we also know about the problems. Tevatron is not really working as good as expected, and the LHC also will need some time to start up. So one can look at the other possibility to search for indirect effects of supersymmetry via precision observables. We talked about this already today, but let me briefly remind me how I like to put it. How does it work? A comparison of electric precision observables with a theory. You take your electric precision data, for example, the W boson mass, the effective mixing angle, we had them, or other observables like the anomalous or magnetic moment of the muon, and you compare it with your favorite theory, standard model, MSSM, whatsoever. And this really presents a test of the theory at the quantum level, because you are sensitive to the loop corrections as depicted here. And you may learn something about the particles that enter here virtually. The problem is, of course, that you need both very high accuracy of the measurement and of the theoretical predictions. But if you have both, you may ask which model fits better, or even does the prediction of a model contradict the experimental data? And I want to show this, although this has been shown a little bit today, but I have I want to show this in one example, the prediction of the W boson mass in the standard model and the MSSM. So W boson mass, top quark mass, there are only two areas here, the green one and the red one, and blue is just the overlap of the two. So the red one is the prediction in the standard model with the Higgs boson mass of 113 or 400 GeV here, and the green one is the MSSM prediction here with light SUSY and here with heavy SUSY. And of course, in the overlap region, either SUSY is heavy and the MSSM is standard model like, or on the other hand, supersymmetry has a light Higgs boson coinciding with supersymmetry. And this has to be compared with the experimental data, which since yesterday looks like this. We have here the 68% confidence level, and the central value is now at 178 GeV. And before I always said there is a slight preference for supersymmetry, I would drop this statement. Now it fits equally well with both models. And a look into the future is here. Black is the Tevatron LHC ellipse, and red is the linear collider GigaSy ellipse. And at least with the GigaSy precision, you will really perform a very sensitive test of the model. So this is how it works in principle. Just as a reminder, because there are very few SUSY talks here, only two, I think, I want to introduce very briefly the minimal supersymmetric standard model. Besides the standard model fermions with spin 1/2, the quarks and the leptons, we have the scalar quarks and the scalar leptons with spin 0. Then we have the gauge bosons with spin 1 or spin 0, and their SUSY partners, for example here, the gluino, the chargino, the neutralino with spin 1/2. And in orange, I've marked here the Higgs bosons. You can see there's more than one. We need two Higgs doublets. And thus, in the end, we have five physical states, the lightest CP-even Higgs, the heavy CP-even Higgs, the CP-odd, and the charged Higgs, and as in the standard model, the three Goldstone bosons. And for the Higgs sector, we need two new input parameters, which are usually chosen to be tangent beta, the ratio of the two vacuum expectation values of the two Higgs doublets, and Higgs boson mass scale, which is either the mass of the pseudoscalar or the mass of the charged Higgs bosons. And what becomes apparent already from this little table, one problem of higher order corrections in the MSM is that you have many, many particles with many different masses and thus very many scales, and this makes the calculations quite involved. One should, of course, be open to extensions of the very minimal MSSM, and I picked here two. For example, the MSM can have complex parameters, and this may introduce additional complications or additional effects. For example, the Higgs-Zeno mass parameter mu can be complex. The trilinear couplings that control the mixing for the scalar quarks or the scalar taus here can be complex. The Gay-Zeno mass parameters can be complex. Also, the Gluino mass can be complex. Another possibility of an extension is the non-minimal flavor violation MSSM. I depicted here one example. This here is the 4x4 mass matrix of the scalar bottoms and the scalar strange quarks, which is usually block diagonal. But in non-minimal flavor violation, you may have some non-zero terms here, and then all these particles mix with each other, and you also get new interactions and new effects. You could have an MSM with an additional singlet and so on. There are many possibilities, and one should, in principle, be open to everything. Now I want to describe in brief the precision observables I will talk about. Two of them have been studied already during the day extensively, namely the first two ones, the W boson mass and the effective mixing angle. So I can be brief. The W boson mass is evaluated via delta R, and the effective mixing angle via these two couplings here measured on the Z-pole of the Z-couplings to fermions. Higher order corrections to these two observables can be approximated with the rho parameter, and this is usually done at higher orders because it's easier to evaluate. Rho measures the relative strength between neutral current and charged current interactions. And the leading process independent terms to these observables are given by this quantity where this sigma denotes the transversal part of the self-energy evaluated at zero external momentum. As I said, delta rho gives the main contribution to these electric observables. For example, if you have evaluated delta rho, then with this simple prefactor, you can derive the corresponding shift in the W boson mass, and the same for the effective mixing angle. And the experimental bounds translate roughly into this bound for delta rho. This is an example of an application of these two observables. So I have here the plane of the effective mixing angle and the W boson mass. Red is again standard model prediction. Green is the MSSM prediction. I did not have to update this plot yet because we scanned over top quark mass from 170 to 180 GeV, where this border belongs to 170 and this here to 180. So we are here right now. And this is, of course, the current data. And again, you cannot deduce much of it, but both models can be consistent. In the future, it will improve like this. And again, the GigaZ measurement can be very powerful here. The next precision observable, the theoretical prediction of the lightest MSM Higgs boson mass. Contrary to the standard model, the Higgs boson mass is not a free parameter. And at tree level, there's this very famous bound that the Higgs boson should be lighter than the Z boson mass, which is, of course, already excluded by lab Higgs searches. On the other hand, there are large radiative corrections, and I've written down here just the very dominant one-loop piece. So delta M Higgs squared scales like Fermi constant times the fourth power of the top quark mass, which makes the precise determination of the top quark mass very important in this game, times a logarithm where here the scalar top quark masses and the top quark mass enter. And since the scalar top quark masses enter here, one can say that the MSM Higgs sector is connected to all other sectors via the loop corrections to this mass. And this is especially true for the scalar top quark sector. And thus, the measurement of the mass or of the couplings will be a very sensitive test of the theory. And then one has to keep in mind the aims of the LHC, which says it can measure the Higgs mass down to 200 MeV, and the linear collider even 250 MeV. And these are the goals the precision, the theoretical evaluations should go for. So one should try to match these experimental anticipated precisions. But overall, I like to say, due to the strong dependence on these parameters, the Higgs boson mass will be, if the Higgs boson is discovered, probably even the best electric precision observable. And one example of application. Here, I show the prediction of the Higgs boson mass as a function of AT, where AT is the parameter that controls the mixing in the scalar top quark sector. We've chosen one benchmark scenario labeled SPS1B. The precise parameters are not relevant here. We assumed the future measurements of, well, we tried to make correct assumptions about the future measurement. What would be observable at colliders? We plug this in, the masses that are known. However, this parameter AT will probably not be measured directly. We also put in realistic errors for these observables, and then you derive this band here, where the green band corresponds to top quark measurement of 2 GeV and the blue one of 0.1 GeV at the linear collider. And if you then use the Higgs boson mass, the measurement here at 115 GeV, you can cut out some AT values and you can thus indirectly determine AT. And this will be very important to determine these SUSY parameters. Of course, I've neglected here all the experimental, all the theoretical errors, and I will come back to this later. Finally, the last observable I want to look at is the anomalous magnetic moment of the muon, G minus 2. And there are two talks about this, I think more about the standard model evaluation, which is very important here and introduces probably the biggest uncertainty by Fred and Kirill on the last day, I think. So I will not talk about these problems here. The anomalous magnetic moment of the muon comes from the loop-induced coupling of mu mu to photon. It's this term here, which is loop-induced. And in the MSSM, you can have additional one-loop contributions, which are generically depicted here and here. So you have two classes of diagrams, either with a scalar neutrino and a chargino, or with a scalar muon and a neutralino here. And the difference between the standard model and the MSSM correction is that one of these red dots here, one of these vertices, is enhanced as compared to the standard model by a factor of tangent beta. And tangent beta was this ratio of these two vacuum expectation values, and it can range between roughly 1 and 50. So you can have a large enhancement of the one loop corrections here as compared to the standard model. And one example of application, the plot is very busy, you don't have to look at most of the lines. I concentrated here on one M-Sugra scenario where we have two free parameters, which we labeled here M0, the scalar mass parameter, and M1/2, the fermionic mass parameter. And we did this plot in 2002 where this value here was based on the plus or minus evaluation, so we had roughly 3 sigma deviation, and the tau-based analysis was this roughly 1.5 sigma deviation. And the 3 sigma deviation led to these two thick red bands, and the allowed area is only in between these two red bands. So all the other area was excluded at that time by G minus 2. And well, nowadays, depends on what numbers you put in, it looks similar for your plus or minus. Maybe not as drastic, but similar. If you believed in the tau-based evaluation, then you only obtained this little thin red line where only this lower part was excluded. But still, it provided some bounds on the MSM parameter space, and this is how it works. Now, status and perspectives. I will focus solely here on supersymmetry. The standard model contributions were nicely given by Stefan this morning, and since there are only so few SUSY talks, I decided to skip them. Of course, they are all very important, and they have to go into a complete analysis, and they are included in the numbers that I will show you. So, what is available for the W boson mass and effective mixing angle? At the one loop level, everything is complete now since about 8 to 10 years. This is very nice. At the two loop level, only corrections to delta rho exist so far, alpha, alpha s corrections. This is the only piece where we calculated something for delta r, also alpha, alpha s corrections. And most recently, some Yukawa squared corrections have been obtained here. What is missing, of course, are the subleading Yukawa corrections, which can be potentially be large, because in the original evaluation we set the SUSY mass scale to infinity, which is some approximation, and so we are working on this without this simplification. And in addition, of course, really delta R and the effective mixing angle have to be evaluated at this subleading level, and then one may achieve something. One may achieve precise enough prediction. I briefly show you the effect of the latest evaluated corrections to give you an idea what is the status of the uncertainties. And here I show you delta MW as a function of the Higgs boson mass and the MSSM. For, you cannot read it, the MH max scenario, the parameters have been fixed in some way, doesn't matter. for two values of tangent beta, and this results in these two curves here. So the correction from these were the subleading alpha top squared terms. They are at the ballpark of roughly 10 MeV here. And if you say, okay, we know already the standard model evaluation for Higgs boson mass, if you believe that this is a good approximation, which of course you don't know beforehand, then the effect becomes indeed much smaller, only in the ballpark of 1 to 2 MeV. Yeah, but now it has been shown that the existing standard model evaluation can be used also for the MSM up to the level of 1 to 2 MeV. It looks quite similar for the effective mixing angle. The full, or the two-loop thing here, is roughly 6 times 10 to the minus 5. And if you again subtract the standard model variation, it's only around 1 times 10 to the minus 5. What are the existing errors? We estimated the theory error from estimating what is missing at higher orders in supersymmetry nowadays to be at the level of about 10 MeV. Of course, it's larger than the standard model because you have more particles contributing, more loops contributing. But the standard model error is, of course, also included here. And for the effective mixing angle, we estimated roughly 12 times 10 to the minus 5. Then there are the parametric errors for the W boson mass. The top quark mass induces an error of roughly 31 MeV. This was this band that was discussed today in Stefan's talk. And from delta alpha hadronic, from this uncertainty nowadays, it's now 6.5 MeV. For the effective mixing angle, delta top introduces 16 times 10 to the minus 5, and here delta alpha hadronic, quite large, 13 times 10 to the minus 5. And the experimental values have been given a couple of times today. What can we expect for the future? Well, it's hard to say what we can really calculate in the standard model, but in the MSSM. This is the estimate that we gave, including what maybe could even be done in addition for the standard model, and then the MSSM uncertainty has to be slightly larger. So this is really something very optimistic, yeah? And the same applies for the effective mixing angle. We don't believe we can get below 2 MeV or 2 times 10 to the minus 5. For the parametric corrections here, if this can go down to roughly 100 MeV, then the uncertainty is only 1 MeV, so negligible. And from delta alpha hadronic, we took optimistic future uncertainty of 5 times 10 to the minus 5, I think. And this resulted again in about 1 MeV shift here. For the effective mixing angle, delta top doesn't pose any problem. However, delta alpha hadronic, even with the optimistic assumption, still resulted in an error of 1.8 times 10 to the minus 5. And if you compare this to the prospective experimental errors, 7 MeV here, this looks fine. So all these errors are well below. Here we get 1.3 times 10 to the minus 5, and this can hardly be matched. Yeah? Even if you get down with this error very much, this error will still be there, so this can really hardly be matched, unfortunately. Also, very recently, we obtained some corrections for non-minimal flavor violation, where we parametrized the non-minimal flavor violation here by a coupling called lambda, which scales this off-diagonal terms. So the off-diagonal terms in the mass matrix scale like lambda times M SUSY. And this plot shows delta W as a function of lambda. And for lambda, let's say around 0.3, 0.4, you can already obtain shifts of the W boson mass corresponding to the current uncertainty. So the effects are quite strong here. And this, for the effective mixing angle, again, lambda. And here they are at the ballpark of 10 to the minus 4, so also non-negligible. Next observable, the Higgs boson mass, and there are many, many people worked on this over, I don't know, 2 decades already, nearly, and so I will concentrate what has been done this millennium. There are the subleading terms, order alpha top squared, which induced a shift of 1 to 4 GeV, some alpha B, alpha S terms that can be relevant for large tangent beta, some remaining terms in the sector that can again induce a shift of roughly up to 3 GeV for extreme parameters, and so on. And recently, also some so-called full two-loop calculation became available. However, this can be applied only in very special circumstances. For example, in our approach, where we want to evaluate the Higgs boson mass in terms of onshell parameters, this full two-loop calculation, unfortunately, cannot be used. So the status, from my point of view, is still that, that these corrections exist, but that the full thing is still missing. There's more. We also obtained the full one-loop correction in the complex MSM with complex parameters, including also the momentum dependence, the same for the charge tick sector. And one thing that one might not think about so often, also renormalization, of course, is very important. And we worked a lot to find good renormalization schemes that stabilize the result. And here we found some new renormalization at the one-loop level that again resulted in a shift in Higgs boson mass, but made the result much more stable. And most recently, we also analyzed the renormalizations at order alpha b, alpha s, which again can induce a shift of 1 to 2 GeV here. And also for non-minifier violation, the leading corrections are meanwhile calculated. What is missing? As I said, full two-loop is certainly missing, including the full renormalization, and also leading three-loop corrections will have to be evaluated. What are the remaining higher order uncertainties? From the momentum independent uncertainties, we varied the renormalization scale, and this looks like this here. Again, in two scenarios, in the MH-MUX scenario for two tangent beta values or two MA values. And the gray band here corresponds to variation of the scale mu dim, and this gives roughly plus minus 1.5 GeV. And the momentum dependent corrections have been estimated to be somewhat below 1 GeV. Then, as I said, also 3 and 4 loop corrections have to be considered when you want to go down to 50 MeV, which will be the experimental resolution. And especially from the top quark sector, of course, you can expect large corrections. Therefore, we try to be very careful to estimate them, and we employed three methods, or we employed two and looked up a third one. We changed the renormalization scheme at the two-loop level and obtained uncertainty of roughly 1.5 GeV. We derived an explicit formula for a very simplified case, the log cube term, alpha s squared, alpha s alpha top, or alpha top squared, which again resulted in 1.5 GeV. And if you iteratively solve the RGEs, you again obtain roughly 1.5 GeV. So this number seems to be under control. Also for the bottom-bottom sector, three-loop and four-loop, changing the renormalization scheme depending on where you are in the parameter space, you can be very lucky. You find basically no corrections anymore. This is then done. So 0 GeV. But if you're unlucky, you can obtain corrections at 3 GeV level, and this is, of course, very high.
Sorry, is that delta MH square over MH square? Because dimension has the wrong dimension.
That's right. Some coupling is missing here. Or some, yeah, I think some MW squared is missing. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the full intrinsic error from unknown higher order corrections we estimated to be roughly at the 3 GeV level. But what is needed in the future, I mean, the experimental error is 0.05, so we should go down to this level at least. Parametric uncertainties, the error nowadays is 4 GeV from the top quark mass measurement at the Tevatron. This induces an uncertainty in the Higgs boson mass of roughly 4 GeV. But in the future, this will go down to 100, so we are on the safe side. Delta MB will be negligible, or is already negligible. From the W boson mass, nowadays we have 100 MeV, while at the future this will also be negligible. Delta alpha S, still 300 MeV, and this will not go down substantially. So here also some uncertainty will remain that is hard to overcome. As I said, this value here is hard to match. And the situation for this plot I've shown you before, including the theory errors, now looks like this. Again, the prediction of M Higgs as a function of AT, the experimental value. And this here is the small anticipated future error that we hope to achieve. And you see, this already widens a little bit the determination of AT. If you take nowadays precision of around 3 GeV, you can nearly forget about the whole analysis. So this shows how important it is to get this uncertainty under control. Finally, very briefly, I talk about the anomalous magnetic moment of the muon. What is known in the MSM? We have a full one-loop correction. We have the leading QED logs since already 6 years. And then a couple of years ago, some leading parts of the presumably leading diagrams had been evaluated. Unfortunately, these two results differed by a factor of 4. And we recently obtained all two-loop diagrams with a closed scalar with a closed standard model fermion or scalar fermion loop, which includes this type of diagrams. And what is certainly missing here to have it really under control is a full two-loop calculation. However, most problematic, as I said before, is the standard model evaluation, delta alpha hadronic, and so on, and Fred and Kill will cover this, I hope. What is the effect of the latest obtained corrections? This here is delta alpha mu at the two-loop level as a function of the minimal fermion mass that we had that showed up in our scan. And it's this type of diagram where you have a Higgs and here a photon. So it's a bar Z type diagram with scalar tops or scalar bottoms. And they go up to 2.5 times 10 to the minus 10. And this has to be compared with the current experimental error, which is 6 times 10 to the minus 10. So it's a substantial fraction of this error. And if you really twist your model, if you move all the parameters around and don't care whether it looks nice or ugly, if you, for example, have ratios for your scalar mass matrix entries of, well, 1 seems to be normal, 30 seems to be unnatural, at least to me, but then you can obtain corrections up to, let's say, 20 times 10 to the minus 10, and this is really huge. So this also has to get under control. Conclusions? I hope I could persuade you, if you were not persuaded before, that precision observables can indeed give valuable information about the true Lagrangian. And on the other hand, they can provide bounds on the Suzy parameter space. The situation for the W boson mass effective mixing angle, fear error today, about 10 MeV. In the future, we hope to get down to about 2 MeV. Experimental error, 7 MeV. This looks fine. Effective mixing angle nowadays, 12. In the future, about 2, but this can hardly match the experimental error, especially if you take into account also the parametric error, not only the error from missing higher order corrections. For the Higgs boson mass, nowadays at the 3 GeV level, all parametric errors, not only top quark mass, but W boson mass, strong coupling constant induced an uncertainty of roughly 5 GeV. And of course, today we don't know the experimental resolution. In the future, this has to go down to below 0.5 GeV to make it meaningful, while the parametric error will certainly stay above 0.1 GeV coming from the top quark mass, and this can also hardly match the experimental error. So still a huge effort is necessary to exploit the physics potential here. GeV-2 will probably be fully under control with the full two-loop result, but as I said, most problematic is here the standard model evaluation. Thank you.
Thanks very much. It's a very clear talk. Questions or comments?
What kind of assumptions or restrictions did you apply to your NSSM parameter space when you assessed the parametric uncertainty?
For the parametric uncertainty, we focused on the standard model uncertainties here because I think I wrote it somewhere but I forgot to mention it. The Suzy uncertainties depend highly on the scenario. Yeah, it depends on whether you can measure the scalar top quark mass at the linear collider, then you are fine. If you can measure them only at the LHC, it's still okay. Sometimes you cannot even measure them. Then it's very complicated. Yeah, so this is so model dependent that you can really not make you cannot draw any conclusion here, unfortunately. Yeah, so you have to wait what scenario is realized. Yeah, if you always go to the worst scenario, then it looks very bad, okay. I would say. Okay, maybe this was a bit. This was probably a bit misleading. Yeah, I focused here on the standard model uncertainties because this we can assess. Thanks a lot.
More questions or comments? So may I ask you that the BS gamma you didn't include at all. Was
yes.
Some reason for that?
Yeah, well, one reason was time. The other reason was that it's not really precise up to now. Yeah, the error is still quite large. So to claim it's really a precision observable, it hopefully will turn into precision observable when the measurements will be more precise and also the evaluations will settle down more in the future. Then, I mean, we use this observable for our evaluations as a cross-check whether the parameter space is okay or not. But here it was too imprecise, I thought, and then I skipped it. No other reason.
So then I thank you again very much for your talk and we move to the next speaker.